Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you look at the news surrounding Ryan Day, it is the potential, due to one CBS article, that Ryan Day could, no matter the result of this season, turn his nose at Ohio State and then head to the NFL. No matter what happens this season, I'm just going to lay it flat out and tell you exactly what I think. Not happening. Zero chance that Ryan Day is heading to the NFL after a year where you finally get to prove yourself. Right? The narrative around Ryan Day is can't beat Michigan, still remains true, and also can't win the big game. Right? Ohio State fans will tell you, you have to do at least one of the things, which is win a national championship, or you have to be dominant against Michigan. If you're not doing either, why are you here? Well, what are we doing in the great state of Ohio that you can't beat your rival up north and you're also not bringing a winning culture at the very top to take this thing home? But Ryan Day finally, after a little bit of a struggle, he's obviously had success on getting into the playoffs. We all know the wild win percentages that he has throughout the regular season in the college football year, but couldn't really get it done on the playoff stage. Well, you move to the 12-team format. Your team, again, takes a bad loss to Michigan, but you make it as the 8 seed. You dominate Tennessee, and then you go up against undefeated Oregon, who you lost to earlier on in the year, and you dominate them. Right? 34 points unanswered to open the game. Feels like a pretty good spot to be. So why, if you're Ryan Day, would you ever consider moving on from Ohio State? Why would you ever try to think about, well, I could just, listen, Ohio State fans have been pretty rough on me. They haven't embraced me the way that I hoped they would, taking over for Urban Meyer, having Urban support and taking the job in the first place. So as soon as I do something good, I'm out. No, you just don't do that. What you're going to end up doing is, I have one of the most coveted job in sports. If I were to leave, I have a $37 million buyout that if I'm moving to the NFL, somebody's going to have to take care of. Right? Ohio State's not just going to eat the money for me to walk away and leave, and it's not like I can just walk out of here and ignore the 37 either. So you're probably looking at the NFL team to pay $37 million to have a coach who has not shown it at an NFL level. He's never done it, and they're just going to, what, hire him as a head coach? Hire him as an offensive coordinator? No. I haven't heard one team just clamor about Ryan Day and the potential that he would have moving from college to the NFL. It just has not happened. And if you're Ryan Day, again, why would you do it? What's the point? If you're going to have backing at all at any point, now would be the time. In a place where it really matters, at Ohio State, where you've sort of made your living, you've spent the time down in the dumps, now that you finally have at least some Buckeye fans willing to back you and be on your side here, now is when you would up and leave. If you're able to lead this team to a national championship, you surely would have a majority, if not the entirety of the fan base, on your side. And then you would head out. Doesn't seem like it would be a great scenario for Ryan Day. And if you don't believe me, Pete Futek was on with Afternoon Drive yesterday and had this to say about what he's heard about the rumorings of Ryan Day moving on to the league. I think the interesting part of this is not, so you hear Pete obviously laid out, and probably not moving to the NFL. Doesn't feel like there's a lot of reason for that there. The bigger thing for me is I think we're moving from, let's fire Ryan Day after the last week of the regular season, to much more of a chance that Ryan Day could be looking at a contract extension in Columbus. You win a national championship and you open the door immediately. Right? You've already had the backing from athletic director Ross Bjork. He's already been like, well, it feels like fans here are a little bit too reactionary. I don't see Ryan really going anywhere right now. I think they'd be surprised by what we do with the job. Obviously, those comments coming before the college football playoffs. But like, you would 1,000% be in line to have your contract extended. Forget about the $37 million. You might be talking an additional 2 or 3 years on that contract, making sure that Ryan Day isn't going anywhere. It's not just Ryan maybe leaving for the NFL. You could be talking about him being with the Buckeyes for a long time to come. You would be wanting to keep him here, and it buys you years on years to just have a national championship in your back pocket. A guy who's going to be raking in money, especially after the recruitment of somebody like Jeremiah Smith. Right, you were able to bring a quarterback here who succeeded in your system, who is clearly, now I think we can say, an upgrade over Kyle McCord. And you're telling me you're going to move on from the guy who's put together plenty of talent, and then finally when he puts it together is when he's going to up and move? Ohio State fans would be willing to up and move? No. Ryan Day has taken himself in the short span of two games from the ultimate hot seat to about as cool as a throne as you're going to find. Even a loss to Texas tonight does not have Ryan Day on the hot seat. You beat undefeated Oregon. You dismantled Tennessee in the two biggest games that you've played all season. You've gone out and you've done it. You couldn't ask for anything more. If you had concerns about Ryan Day winning the big games, a game against Oregon was probably one of the biggest, aside from a national championship, that you possibly could have faced. In my eyes, bigger than this game against Texas here in the Cotton Bowl, bigger than a game against Tennessee where you have the first college football playoff game at Ohio Stadium. Just means more than those games. You were able to get redemption, knock off an undefeated team. Ryan Day's shown you he can win the big games. Leave for the NFL. No sense. There's no sense behind a statement where he would be gone. The spot that he's put them in, Ryan Day, he's set himself up to be in Columbus. I mean, you're talking about at least the guy starting to ride out the contract. He's not going anywhere after the season right now. He's just not. The hot seat conversation about Ryan Day has subsided. You don't have to worry about it. You have a coach in Columbus who is clearly bringing talent to the table and has now found a way to utilize it. In a way where it felt like Ryan Day was struggling to coach to his strengths, right? We know that in his tenure they have not been good at getting a lot of recruits, or those recruits to at least pan out to be something in the trenches. Jack Sawyer's pretty good, but aside from that, you're at a little bit of a lower end there. An offensive line has been just terrible. I mean, can we just lay it out the way that it is? The offensive line recruiting has not been good. They have not had the same power that they've had under Urban Meyer in years past to be able to have a strong run game like you did with Ezekiel Elliott and the million running backs before him. The run game has just not been there for Ohio State. So now, a year where it feels like Day has figured out, hey man, I can just start airing this thing out, and the run game will come behind it. When we've developed our team to be so intensified and exemplary in the passing game, the run game will come when we let that just open up and fly. And you do that in the college football playoffs. Again, you don't want to turn from a guy that has entered the best stage of his coaching tenure immediately after it happens. And if you're the coach there, why would you want to do that? You finally found success. In a year where it's probably more of a prove-it year coming up in 2025 against Michigan to show that you can do it, and show that you're not just in your head, which we all knew that you were, but that you can overcome that and battle it. And to step into, have your name in the conversation of being one of the best Ohio State coaches in the history of the program, at least within the last like 50 years, in a way that you could dominate Michigan, in a way that you could start to build a dynasty that can win national titles because you're showing that you can do it. That's what you would walk away from? Not a chance. I wouldn't do it at all. Ryan Day off the hot seat and no chance he leaves for the NFL. If you're still not a fan of Ryan Day and you're a Buckeyes fan, all I got to say to you is pretty much buckle in. Because it feels like this guy's going to be here, again, no matter what happens against Texas. 216-474-0092. I want to get your thoughts on whether Ryan Day has removed himself from the hot seat in a semifinal game here coming up against Texas. Also want your predictions from the game. And you can get to me on X as well, at Volnick Jake, V-O-L-I-N-E-C Jake, so we can get to our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. A lot of stuff coming up tonight for you guys. We continue the quarterback big board at 740. We add Justin Fields to the mix. Matthew Bartlett at the Roost covers the Rice Owls. Going to give us some stuff about new offensive line coach Mike Blumgren. That coming up at 8 o'clock as well. Get a grip at 9 and plenty more for you, including change your mind towards the end of the night at 10:20. But right now, I want to know if you think Ryan Day has removed himself from the hot seat and your prediction for the Cotton Bowl tonight. 216-474-0092. Jake Volnick with you guys right here on The Fan. He's sort of changed the entire landscape because you thought the only way you were getting a national title in your back pocket was going to be through a grinded out, nasty, just ugly win after ugly win in the way that they were playing. And not even so the way that they exactly played in the Michigan game, because that was beyond ugly. That was the worst they had played all season. I mean, they were trying to establish themselves on the ground for four straight quarters and it never worked. That was a game of in your head. But I mean, even before that, even games where you can say, hey, you're taking on the Northwesterns of the world. You're taking on the, you throw it out whoever you want, the Nebraskas of the world, right? You could point to those, but they were still playing pretty good football. The football they were playing across that stretch leading up to the Michigan game was fine. It just wasn't insane. It wasn't what we expected from the Buckeyes when we came into this season. So, yeah, if you're not going to look incredible throughout the first 2 weeks, which we had no reason to believe that they were, it was a national title or nothing else was happening. But after watching the way that they played and outscoring their opponents to something crazy, I think it's like 83-38 throughout the first two games in the playoffs.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
How do you not? How do you not take Ryan Day off the hot seat with what he's been able to do and showing just another layer behind him being a good coach, which is being able to take his team from probably their lowest moment, right, where everyone's pointing to the $20 million and you can't beat Michigan. Four straight years in a row, Ryan Day, you can't take down your rival, and everybody wants you out of the building because you're not holding up to the Ohio State standard. And then you come out and you do that. You have shown the layer in your game to be able to be, hey, I can take a punch and actually learn from that. Build upon what was done in a game where we had no success, a game that is beaten down as you could possibly imagine, losing another game throughout the regular season, no matter who it's to. The one against Michigan would always hurt more. That's one where it's easy to sort of roll over. In a lot of seasons, you didn't have a choice. That was the end of the entire run there. If Michigan beat you, your season was over. So you didn't have a lot of teams put in a position to have to bounce back. Ryan Day has really been the only coach in that situation. Right? 2022 against Georgia. You can say he didn't bounce back. I mean, he ended up playing an incredible game against a Bulldogs team that would go on to the national title. And then this year where he's just torn through the competition beyond that game. You have to have a different perspective on Ryan Day after this. And I want to get your guys' calls. 216-474-0092. Mike is in Stowe. What's going on, Mike?
Good evening, Jake. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, man?
You know, getting the snow shovel ready to go. Sounds like we're going to get another round tonight. So, you know, I'm getting ready to do that, watch the game, and fast forward through a few commercials, to be quite honest. That's the way I roll with a game like this. I'll just, you know, fast get through that stuff and get a few things accomplished.
There we go. So
I'll tell you what, he's obviously cool to see it way off. I totally agree with you there. You know, at this point, you know, if he loses tonight, which I'll get to later in my prediction, if he were to lose tonight and they would play one of those stinker games, like, anything close to the thing they did against Michigan, yeah, it would turn his seat back on again. I totally think that would happen. But I don't think that's going to happen. Going to the NFL, he needs that. He needs another championship. And then with this class he's got, and unless he can take Jeremiah Smith with him, you know, I can't really see any logical way why he'd leave that team. It just makes no sense at all right now. He has the best situation, you know, recruiting wise in the country. And it's just, you know, it's nothing you'd want to leave. And the buyout's too high, like you alluded to as well. A couple years down the road, I see it as a possibility. If he continues to excel and wins one or two, then it's way up there. The money will be right, and he won't have a big buyout. As far as the game tonight, it's going to be closer than the last ones have been. I think 38-21 is what we're looking at tonight, a little bit closer, maybe 27. You know, it's possible. I think they could get a little closer. But let's just say this. If he goes through this gauntlet and wins these four games, it'll be the greatest championship run anybody's ever had. He'll beat the best team out there. Ain't nobody going to be able to say, well, this run was better. They have, you know, just done it.
Yeah.
So that he will have a feather in his cap. If they pull this off, there's nobody going to be able to say they've done this kind of a run. They're going to beat like four of the best six teams to win it, including the best team in Oregon. So nobody's done anything like that. Have a good night, Jake.
Yeah, you too, Mike. I appreciate the call, man. My prediction, by the way, not far off of you. I gave it on the Sons of the Shoe podcast that we do, wherever you get your podcast, 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel as well. I gave it there in our preview episode between Spencer and I. Spencer had a closer game. I had it at 31-14. I think Ohio State's coming out and they're dominated this. Right? I just don't see a way where the Buckeyes legitimately come out and lose this game. It's a 5.5-point spread, and it just feels too low for me the way they've been playing. I agree, and I think actually Mike made a really good point. The only way that you get Ryan Day back on the hot seat is if you do somehow come out and play one of those, the Michigan game or the Nebraska game, where it is just sort of a stinker. It's one of those ugly ones that you can't shake. I think that's probably the only way that you come out and say, hey, man, Ryan Day, you might have figured out for a couple of games. But, man, you've clearly shown the inability to figure this entire thing out. And just when we thought you had it figured out, you've gone in the opposite direction. But I just don't see that happening. There's no way to me that Ryan Day flips and lets it go to the point of he completely turns the thing on its head and forgets what's been working for him for the past two games in the two biggest games that maybe he's played in his coaching tenure, maybe not by magnitude of the game individually, but for his career specifically. Right, you don't get any too bigger than this. He's practically coaching for his job, and he's just about done it. I think you have to feel good where you're at if you're an Ohio State fan right now with Ryan Day. I think if you're Ryan Day, you feel good where you're at right now with the program and the fans as well. You've sort of found a way to climb your depths from the very bottom and pull fans back onto your side, and honestly, a way that a lot of us didn't think was going to be possible. If you would have told me that by the end of this thing, by the semifinals, Ryan Day would have the support of Buckeyes fans, I'd have told you you were crazy. You were absolutely insane. Sure, we were always going to be rooting on the Buckeyes. No question about it. You were always going to be cheering on Ohio State. But it wasn't necessarily that you were cheering on Ryan Day. You were just hoping that they won in spite of Ryan Day. That's something that he did. Like, they found a way to win despite his inept ability to put his offense in a way to succeed, in a position to succeed, and have Chip Kelly and himself pair together to put together this electric offense. You thought it was going to come in the opposite of not Ryan Day leading them to the title, but the team being so incredibly talented and maybe some good help from your coordinators and your positional coaches that just push you beyond, and that hasn't been the case. Ryan Day has taken this opportunity and absolutely ran with it, and you got to be happy with where you're at. I do want to bring in Dominic Clary, our board op. I want to go around the room. I want to get your guys' prediction. College football playoff semifinal, Ohio State, Texas to move on to the national championship and take on the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I need a winner and I need a score. Dom, what do you got?
At first, I was really confident that Ohio State was just going to come in here and, you know, throw the Longhorns to the side. But because I feel that way, it makes me feel that's not going to happen. But I'm going to ignore that for now. Despite I'm not even an Ohio State fan.
Right.
So I think Ohio State wins. Yeah, I think it's going to be a little close
over here. Pitt fans in the room. What is happening here?
Hey, we have a lot of national championships. Oh, come on.
Cry about me. The 1860s were great, weren't they?
Tony Dorsett's still alive, pal.
No, cut you off.
Yeah, I think Texas is going to struggle. The last few games I've seen them play, their offense hasn't been very exciting for me. So I'm going to go 28-17. I think Texas scores a touchdown late in the fourth quarter, but doesn't do much other than give them false hope.
All right, I like it. Hody, your prediction for the game?
I'm going to go Ohio State 28, Texas 20. I think Texas actually keeps it relatively close until the fourth quarter when Ohio State pulls away late. I think they pull away with maybe a touchdown or two. I think at one point Texas will have the lead, but it'll be a mirage.
All right. I like it. It's an Ohio State-filled room here. Buckeyes fans for tonight all around. You got to feel good, man. Texas just doesn't do it for me. I told you guys, again, my prediction for the game is Ohio State 31, Texas 14. I just don't see the Longhorns doing it. Their offense, as Dom sort of alluded to there or just pointed out blatantly, has not been very good. They've been pretty disappointing as a whole. And with Quinn Ewers, obviously former Ohio State Buckeye, you thought that team had a chance to be very dominant on offense. The amount of five stars sitting on the offense and just how productive they can be, that's the one thing that might scare you. But they just haven't found a way to get it going. They've struggled week after week to really put the foot to the gas and just show that they can do it. And last week against Arizona State, I actually think the defense struggled. But for a big reason, Texas couldn't stay on the field from the offensive side of the ball to save their lives. They ran like six plays compared to a span of like 18 or 19 plays from Arizona State late in the game in the fourth quarter. And you just allowed the spur of the Arizona State comeback. They let them battle right back into the game. An Ohio State team that we've seen in the college football playoffs not let their foot off the gas at all. Right? Maybe you could argue maybe in the second half against Oregon. Okay. Well, when you go into the half with a 34-8 lead, you probably feel pretty good about taking your foot off the gas. Not the worst thing in the world. I think you can afford it at that point.
One thing I do want to point out with Texas is that I like storylines. So sometimes you can kind of read storylines and see kind of what's going to happen. And it's not always 100%, but usually when there's talk about what team your quarterback's going to play on next year and your better quarterback is on the bench, and I know people might get mad at me for saying that, but I believe it. I think Texas's focus might be all over the place. Yeah, they beat Arizona State. I think they're a good football team. But anytime a team's focus is out of whack like that because Quinn Ewers is apparently getting notified already by Oregon. And rumor has it Ohio State. Not good for your team, especially when your quarterback's supposed to be a first round draft pick, which he's not going to be.
Yeah, no, the span that you have right about now, just in the NFL and college football with NIL and the ability that, hey, you know, Quinn Ewers is playing for a semifinal right now. Teams are also offering him like $4 million to go elsewhere. Pretty odd situation that at least publicly you didn't have before. Should be a good game tonight, though. Again, Ohio State predictions around the room. Hopefully you guys are feeling confident in the Buckeyes as well. People jumping in and jumping on Twitter as well, just commenting on Ryan Day. Got some good stuff. I mean, it's time to get Jeremiah Smith the ball, and that man is going to dominate. All right, coming up at 8 o'clock, Matthew Bartlett at the Roost. He covers the Rice Owls. He's going to let us know about the new Browns offensive line coach, Mike Bloomgren, what he did over there at Rice during his 24-52 record across several seasons. Doesn't sound good. We'll see if Matthew uses that to his disadvantage or maybe has some nice things to say about Bloomgren as well. 7:40 coming up in about 3 minutes. Quarterback big board. Justin Fields jumps on. Jake Volnick with the guys right here on The Fan. All right, just because somebody's name's already popped up, Shedeur Sanders currently in the current iteration sitting at the one spot does not mean that Shedeur Sanders ends the season at the one spot. It is a ever-dynamic list. And you have another name. But if we get to the point where we're doing like, I mean, the toss a name out there. If we're doing Ben DiNucci on the quarterback big board, it might be time to stop the quarterback big board.
Western Pennsylvania legend, Ben DiNucci, the most famous DiNucci of all.
James Madison legend, Ben DiNucci.
Pitt legend, baby.
Ah, didn't even do anything for your school.
I saw him lose 35-0 to Mason Rudolph, Oklahoma State.
Yeah, that's all I need to hear. That's enough. That's enough, Ben DiNucci.
Legacy game, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah. I at one time said that Mason Rudolph was probably a better quarterback of Oklahoma than Baker Mayfield. I regret that take heavily. Both turned out pretty well. I mean, decent enough to be starting games in the NFL. So there could have been worse things said. But today's big board ad is Justin Fields. Right? Another name that's been sort of hotly thrown around. I feel like his name has cooled off a little bit within the who's going to be the quarterback for the Browns next year market a little bit. Just because you have the draft where we're talking Shedeur, we're talking Cam. Kirk Cousins became not even available, but like pseudo-available when he was benched by the Falcons in favor of Michael Penix. So it's a name that's cooled off a little bit, but definitely one that still sticks in my mind is a, hey, this guy could come in and do it for you. And by the way, you sign into a prove-it deal, and he does prove it. He could be here for, I mean, years to come. Justin Fields currently 25 years old. Right? This is probably one of the better names sitting on the list that could be the short-term and long-term solution if it were to pan out. So last night, sitting there, I added Justin Fields, and I'll be honest, when I started and I put Justin Fields on the list, I was like, all right, guy probably falls at 4. He's probably going to be behind Kirk Cousins, behind the two top rookies. But let's watch the tape. Let's figure this thing out, feel how we come to a real conclusion about Justin Fields and where we're at on him. So that's what I did. I spent a couple hours last night watching tape from Justin Fields, specifically his time in Pittsburgh, by the way. I sort of threw out the Chicago tape because I think that Matt Nagy might have just ruined the guy. I think that might have been the solution. Okay, if you're coached by a quarterback named Matt in Chicago, I'm not interested in looking at what you have. We can just throw that one out the window. So I sat down and I watched Fields tape from basically every start he made in a Pittsburgh uniform. And I'll be honest, guys, pretty impressed. Like, just overly impressed beyond where I thought I was going to be with Justin Fields. Because the Justin Fields that you remember from watching him in his time in Chicago, way over-reliant on his legs. And I knew already going into this that was something he got better at just from watching Pittsburgh games across the season and even just social media clips and everything beyond just everything you saw about Justin Fields was, hey, the guy's learning a little bit more to stay in the pocket in Pittsburgh. And I know that was a big emphasis for them was, hey, your legs are a great tool to you. They're one of your strongest weapons, but you're still a quarterback. You got to look to pass the ball first, and it's a passing league. So we got to put you on a track to be able to do that well. And I really liked what I saw out of him. I thought he was very patient in the pocket. I thought he kept his eyes downfield on a lot of plays. And when he was using his legs, it was broken plays in the sense of your offensive line did not block for you. You either completely miss an assignment or they just get blown up. And that's when you saw Justin Fields start to use his legs. It wasn't just running to run or trying to get outside the pocket to have a clear vision of what you have downfield. He was very patient in the pocket, and I liked what I saw out of him a lot in that term. It wasn't perfect. There were definitely some weeks there where he struggled, but I think as a whole, I liked what I saw out of him just as a quarterback. Right, and then the next question comes up. Okay, you can like a guy as a quarterback. I like Cam Ward as a quarterback. I don't like Cam Ward as a fit in the Kevin Stefanski offense and with the Cleveland Browns. So I'm watching him as a quarterback, and I say, okay, how does this work? And everything that I'm seeing work with the Cleveland Browns. And when I tell you I'm surprised, it was a lot of work under center, a lot of play action, and he ran it well. Even the throws that Justin Fields wasn't making, like he was trying to give his guys a chance. There's critiques I can make about Fields in the tape that I watched. I think a lot of the times he puts too much mustard on the ball. I think he's trying to zip just about every single throw that he makes and probably needs to learn to put a little more air under them. Tried to give his guy a chance. He threw some turnover-worthy plays that ended up not being picks that definitely should have been. But again, beyond that, it wasn't a lot of criticism I had for Fields. Right? There was a couple of things mechanics-wise. You had a hitch, maybe a little slow to make decisions. But in the same way that a lot of 25-year-old quarterbacks, you know, where it's, man, you have a route open to you that's a yard short of the sticks on third down. Trust your guy to make the catch and then turn up field for 1 yard and go battle for it when it's your tight end. It was more so things like that where I looked at Fields and I'm, okay, it's not perfect, but if we're going to be calling Kevin Stefanski a guy who can develop a quarterback and make it work and sort of be this quarterback whisperer that you're calling on, that if this franchise is going to turn it around under him anyway, you're going to need at some point, that's coachable. You could turn that around for sure. He's shown improvement just in the time from when he was at Chicago to the time he was at Pittsburgh on making those decisions. So when you talk quarterback big board and where I ended up falling with Justin Fields, guys, I, again, thought he was going to fall at 4. The man slotted up to number 2. He fell just below Shedeur Sanders just because I think a little bit of the unknown, and I do want to draft a quarterback at the 2 spot, and I think he could leave you in a good position. I liked him more than I liked the prospect of Cam Ward, and I certainly liked him more than what I saw to Kirk Cousins. It was solid play, and I was just, again, stunned by how he fits in the Stefanski offense, where, sure, you might need a little bit more of the run game, but that's the great part about Justin Fields is he helps you a lot there, right? He's able to progress the run game and add another dimension where it doesn't have to be, hey, Nick Chubb's got to play at a Nick Chubb level, because Justin Fields presents his own threat every time he goes to hand the ball off, that he could just pull it out and take it himself. So you don't even need necessarily this ultra-dominant run game. I mean, Pittsburgh doesn't have an ultra-dominant run game. They have a solid run game between Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, but they don't have an ultra-dominant one. It's not like they have Derrick Henry back there. It's not Lamar and King Henry trying to run the read option. And it's like, well, pick your poison. Because if you don't hit Derrick Henry within, I don't know, 3 yards of the line of scrimmage, you got a unit of a man barreling down with you. And if you commit to hitting behind the scrimmage, well, Lamar takes it. And good luck getting that guy on the ground, right? It's not that. And Justin Fields was still making plays with his legs and quick decisions with his legs when necessary. But it was the ultimate maturity and growth that I've seen out of a quarterback from looking at him from one spot to another. It was probably too far of a stretch to call it Sam Darnold-esque, but man, did he look good. Todd's in Ward 1, wants to chime in on Justin Fields. What's going on, Todd?
Justin Fields is the pick that I would say go after. Isn't his contract up? I mean, Yeah, his contract ends this year, right? So he's wide open to be grabbed. And he could come at an affordable rate, and he can do all the necessary things that the Browns need a quarterback to do, and he's not banged up. Cousins, out. The rookie, who's not a rookie anymore, but he might as well be a rookie because he didn't play at all in Minnesota this year, out. Justin Fields is the pick that I'm like saying, make a deal for that guy, and don't waste your pick, the second pick, rather, on Shedeur Sanders when you could get a proven NFL quarterback and not and still have your pick to either trade back or hold on to. So I'm with that's the move to me. If they could get him away from Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh is going to let one of those two dudes go. Are you confident in that?
Yeah, so they got to turn somebody loose. There's no way that if you want to go with Russell Wilson, Justin Fields isn't signing up to be a backup quarterback next year because he's put enough good tape out that somebody's got to give him a chance to at least compete for a job. And then, I mean, if you're turning Russell Wilson loose, he's going somewhere.
So what do you think about the other Sanders son at safety? His name's Shiloh?
Yeah, Shiloh Sanders.
You got? Of course he's not going to be the first-round draft pick, but do you have any feeling about him as a safety for the Browns in place of my man, number one, who used to play for Kansas City?
I mean, I'll tell you how I like Shiloh, Todd. If you draft Shedeur Sanders, then I like Shiloh. Just bring them both. If you're going to stack them, then you go get them. I haven't watched a ton of Shiloh, though, to give you like the full breakdown on where I feel like he could actually go and do something. But, yeah, if it's going to be anything, I think he probably comes alongside Shedeur. And if they decide that they like him, I got no problem with bringing him to Cleveland. I just don't know where he's sort of valued right now, and I haven't watched a ton of tape on him.
He has good instinct, and he's a big hitter. Second round, if he's there, go get him. As far as Shedeur, I read an article that I don't know to be true or not because the source, I haven't looked at what the source was.
Yeah.
But Shedeur, did he file bankruptcy? Is that true?
I didn't see anything on that.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Not saying that it's wrong. I have no idea.
If that's true, that's reason enough for me to say don't take no chance. The Browns can't afford no problems, man. Let Shedeur go on and go to Tennessee State, no state tax, Titans, okay? And you could find somebody else. Before I took any of those dudes from Colorado, I go look at the cornerback that won the Heisman. He's the truth. So I'm about to go watch the Residence game, and I'm going to be sitting here with my beads and my Bible. Please, Banks, have a good game and come to the Browns, Banks. Come on, baby. All right, man.
All right, Todd. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, from what I'm reading very shortly during Todd's call, doesn't seem like Shedeur was in the bankruptcy proceedings. Might have actually been Shiloh. I don't know. We're trusting Google AI right now, which is not something I like to do. But that's where I stand on it, okay? That's as far as you get. But I don't know, guys. Again, quarterback, big board, I'm liking where we are on Justin Fields. He slots up to two. If you want to check out the entire thing and you want to see where we have everybody ranked up to this point, you go to X, at Volnick Jake, V-O-L-I-N-E-C Jake. I'll have it posted there here very shortly with the updated rankings, just like we will, 7:40, every single segment moving forward until we fill up this board and figure out where we stand. All right. 4 minutes, top of the hour, 8 o'clock, Matthew Bartlett at the Roost covering the Rice Owls gives us the lowdown on Mike Bloomgren from his time there, the Browns' new offensive line coach. Let's get to it. It's Jake Volnick with you guys right here on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.